Welcome back. Now we're going to look at the courage to say yes to God. Always when we say yes to God, it requires faith. It was interesting as I was driving down to do this recording with Kirsty, a song came up on my iPad that was talking about saying yes to God and how it always brings trials and how difficult it can be that we seem to have to work through these things, but it always leads to a better place. And so understand that when you say yes to God, it is going to require faith. Secondly, it can be scary. I have said to God yes so many times, and then I'm so scared as a result of it. People look at me and say, oh, Jeff, you're a confident person. But, you know, inside, you're still thinking, oh, God, what have I let myself in for here? But here's the real kicker for us. It always results in blessing. Every time I say yes to God, I'm blessed. Just in so many, many ways. I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking about that wonderful feeling that comes when God does something and you just are a small part just saying yes. How good does that feel? And there's so many blessings of relationships and the blessings go on and on and on. And here's the real amazing thing. Every time you say yes to God, He gives you the grace. That is the empowering to actually do what He asks you to do. So when He says, I want you to do this, and you say yes, He then gives you the ability and the empowering to make sure that you're able to do it. We just need to believe. Our problem is that we find excuses. A rude guy wrote to me from an African nation the other day because he was inviting me to come. I think all he really wants is my money. And when I said, well, I can't travel at the moment and I've got a lot of other things that I'm doing, he said, oh, you're too full of excuses. And I said, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm not the first one. Moses had the same problem. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? How many of you listening to this today kind of feel like, well, who am I? I think we all feel that. I mean, I know I do. Who am I? But the reality is that we're God's children. And it doesn't matter who we are, with God on our side and the Holy Spirit working through us, it doesn't really matter. Because God can do stuff through a donkey. God says, what is his name? What shall I say to them? This is Moses' excuse. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to say to them. Well, I'll tell you something. God will always give you what to say. And then he says, suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not appeared to you. You know, it's always a bit of a problem when God gives you a word or something. You think, well, what if people don't believe? Hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter what people think or what they believe. All our responsibility is to deliver what God's given us. Then it's up to them what they do with it. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to say yes to God, and I'm going to do it. Moses says, Lord, I'm not eloquent enough. I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. I always remember a situation where when I was in Bible college, we were invited to speak in a church, and there was a team of five of us, and we divided up all the responsibilities. One was going to lead worship, one had a testimony, I was preaching on a Sunday, and there's another guy who was going to speak on a Saturday night. And I felt really, really uneasy about it, because he could hardly finish a sentence. It was so slow, and it was like that. But he insisted on it, and he got up, and he gave this slow, stuttering message on Saturday night. And I thought, you know what? I shouldn't have let him do it. I just felt for him. And then he took an altar call. And I thought, oh, God, you know, who's possibly going to respond to this? And you know what? 75% of those youth went forward on the altar. And suddenly I realized it wasn't his ability to present. It was the Holy Spirit speaking through a faltering voice that people heard. And they overlooked his stutter because of what God was saying through him. And that night, God gave me a wonderful lesson. He said, Jeff, it doesn't matter what it sounds like. It's the Spirit behind there. And I guess that was a bit of a beginning for me of working with people with disabilities to understand, as you all know, we've seen people in our camps get up and they've had to communicate through a communicator or they've had to do it through sign language, whatever. But we've seen God's Spirit on it and God does something. So the fact that we're not eloquent doesn't really matter, because God is still able to use us. Then Moses says, look, why don't you send somebody else? How many of you have felt like that? Hey, I'll let somebody else prophesy. I'll let somebody else do it. But God's speaking to you. We have to say yes to God and be available to do it. Here's a great example. Jesus is walking by the sea and he sees these guys, you know, working with their nets fishing, and he says, follow me. And the Bible says immediately they left their nets and followed him. Then he comes to a couple more by their boat and he says, follow me again. And immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. I think God is looking for instant obedience. He's looking for you and I to simply say yes and say yes straight away. I don't think he's really asking you and I to say, I'll fast and pray about it, Lord, and then I'll get back to you. I think God's really saying, why don't we just say yes and get on and do it? Saying yes to God normally means putting aside what we're doing and doing what he is doing. I want to say to you that that's sometimes inconvenient because I've got my plans, I want to do this, and God wants to have the impertinence to interrupt my day and get me doing something different. Until we come to the conclusion, of course, that God's actually more important and what he's telling us to do is going to result in something great. And so I think we need to realize that we have to put aside our own agenda and do what God wants. And we have to settle some things in ourselves. What do we have to settle? Well, firstly, is our worth. Many of us don't feel good enough. Do you know what? I'm absolutely certain that feeling comes from the devil. Because God's not about us being good enough. God is about using us, no matter who we are or what we are. He just wants to move through us. And so I want to say to you today, your worth has already been settled because you've been made worthy because of his blood and his sacrifice. Okay? So let's settle that right now. You are already worthy. And those feelings that you have of unworthiness actually come from the devil. Because he's actually separated your sin as far as the east is from the west. They never join. And so you need to understand that you are worthy. One of the other questions we have, well, where's the money going to come from? You know, I remember the first time they invited me to Africa and I looked at my costings and it was going to cost me $6,000. And I thought, well, where's the money going to come from? Well, I think if I look back today, I still couldn't tell you where the money came from. It came in lots of $20. That's a lot of $20. But people would just keep giving me $20 notes. And before you know it, I had enough money to go. Where will the money come from? I don't have the answer to that question. I just know if it's God's vision, there'll be God's provision. I mean, we're going through this whole COVID thing, which is why I'm not there speaking. And do you know what? All my speaking engagements have been cancelled. How do I earn my living? By speaking. At the moment, I can't speak. Where's the money coming from? I can't tell you. I just know that every month, somehow, the money comes. So don't worry about that, where that's coming from. Just say yes to God, and it'll happen. I guess we want to say, well, how will I do this? You know, I get consumed with this one. I've got to be honest with you. How am I going to do this? It bothers me because I'm one of these people who like to plan and work things out. And God's been speaking to me about going to Poland. And I go, Lord, I don't speak Polish. I don't know anybody there. How am I going to do this? And God's saying, well, it's not really your concern. Your job is to just say yes and go. So guess what? I don't have a good answer for you on that one. I just have to say to you, we have to trust God. God will show you when you need to know. What will it look like? We all want to know that, don't we? Because we're inquisitive and we kind of like to have our little finger in there. But you know what? God's just asking you to say yes. What, when those fishermen said, yes, I'm going to follow you, did they have any idea what it's going to look like? That they'd be traipsing all over Israel for 3 years, giving out fish and bread and casting out demons? And they had no idea what they were saying yes to. They just said yes. And you know what? That's part of the excitement of the journey. When we say yes to God, I just think of some of my missionary journeys when I've really not known what was going to happen, and when God did stuff, it was just marvelous. Looking back, I'm glad I said yes. The reality is, it requires faith. We don't have all the answers, but what we do have is God's assurance. He says, wherever you go, I will go with you. That's the assurance that we have. People, I want to say that when you say yes to God, have this assurance that God will be with you. Might be uncomfortable, but he will be with you. What about a local example? I had a disabled guy turn up at my church. He was intellectually disabled, and we were just starting out as a church. And I said to him, well, do you know what? Every person in this church has got to do something. So I reached into my pocket, and I pulled out my keys, And I took the key for the church off my key ring, gave it to him and said, Gary, you're going to be opening up this church, sitting out the chairs. When we're finished, you put the chairs away and lock it up. He did that faithfully until his family moved him to the South Island. Never missed a Sunday. Highly intellectually disabled. But you know what? We gave him a job and he said yes to it. And you know what was amazing? Because he did a chair ministry, when he left our church, we gave him a Lazy Boy chair. Cost us over $1,000, gave him the best chair that we could buy, and just blessed him. You know what he said to me? I've never had a chair before, Pastor. You know what? In his house, he didn't have a chair of his own. But I guess what? His family don't understand it, but he's got the best chair of the whole family. There's a guy who said yes to God, and he was a blessing to us, and I think it was a blessing to him. What about this one here? Jesus said, what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go and work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he regretted it, and he went. Then came the second, and he said, likewise. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Jesus asked this question, which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him, and when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him. Some say yes, but they change their minds. Some say no, but they change their minds. It's easy to say yes the more you get to know God. I can tell you now that having walked with the Lord the number of years, I've now been preaching for 37 years. And you know what? It's so much easier to say yes. The first time I said yes to God, which is almost 37 years to the day, and I preached my first message, I invited my next door neighbor along, and he got to hear me preach that very first message. He was a lay preacher in the church for 60 years. And I said to him at the end of it, Bill, how was that? He said, Jeff, I think that's the worst message I've heard in 60 years. And I said, you know, I was just devastated. I said, God, you told me you wanted to preach, and I'm a disaster. And I said, I'm now down to preach next week. What am I going to say? He said, that's the question you should have asked the first week. I asked Bill to come back and hear me the next week because now I had God's message, not my message. And I said, Bill, would you like to come back and hear me again? He said, no. Once is enough, you know. But you know what the reality was? The message was a huge success. And I had all these people coming up and asking me for prayer. I had no idea what I was doing. But you know what? The more you know God, the easier it is to say yes to him. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So deep down, the basis of all this stuff is loving God. Amen? And he puts that love in us. You know, it says there, somebody just said, taught me this the other day, and I'd never thought of it like this. He said, you know, in Revelation it says, you've forgotten your first love. Every time I hear that preach, people preach about, oh, you've forgotten what you loved at first. But guess what? Do you know who our first love was? God loved me. How good is that? My first love is how God loved me. And we've forgotten how God loved us at the beginning. Isn't that cool? So guess what? Just let that love come out. So what's the application for us today? Lord, I surrender. All I think he's asking you and I to do is to surrender to him. And you need to do that today. Say, God, I'm yours. And then choose to say yes. Every time you say yes to him, it's going to result in blessing.